Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
When people ask, Regina, do you like to compete? I say, bring it on. Those are the moments that drive you to achieve more. And when you win, you keep reaching higher. To me, that's what the Cadillac Escalade represents. It's always evolving in technology, in design, everything. Because success isn't the end. It's just the first step to what comes next.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.
New home ownership can be a real eye-opener, but it's the perfect time to look into Homeowner 101 from the Home Depot. Free live streaming workshops taught by expert associates now at homedepot.com/workshops. You'll find indoor and outdoor workshops, even home systems workshops. Plus, you'll get the know-how you need to care for your biggest investment. Master the basics at Homeowner 101, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Register now at homedepot.com/workshops.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
What only chance in my team like Man U.
Ready!
It defies description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
All right, good evening and welcome to another episode of Make United Great Again. This is Elijah and I'm joined by Sebi. How's it going?
What's good, bro? What's good, bro?
And I'm joined by our resident bully, Rodney. How's it going?
Yo, what's up? Yeah, I'm good.
So before we get into the game, there's a few things we need to plug. The Patreon had two new pieces go up last week. The tactical analysis of the Palace game and the first Pogba watch with Mario and Sebi. This week, I think we're going to have a few more things coming, hopefully. So we'll see about that. The Discord community, I joined for a bit on Saturday because I wasn't able to watch the game. And as soon as I joined, all I could hear was Mario just swearing. Sebi was fuming as well.
Discord goes off. Like, it's if you're so listening funny. And you're not on Discord, yeah, you are missing out. It's like a WhatsApp. Fact. It's like a WhatsApp group chat.
Yeah, it goes off in there.
It's sick still.
It's so funny. But so, fam, I would definitely join it. Sign up and join it.
It's free
as well. Like, there's so many people there. So many different things to do. Not just United, there's the Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, there's the courtside, there's UFC, so much shit. And we've got our YouTube, so if you're more of a watcher than a listener, this will go up the next day after this pod is released, and then yeah, you can listen to that there. Now that that's all out the way, I'm gonna defer to Sebi and Rodney about the game because I wasn't able to watch it, but I'm hearing it was a crazy game. So first I'm going to go to Rodney to see how he felt about it.
Yeah, man, that was probably one of our worst performances and probably one of the best performances I've seen from Brighton. I think they followed up from their their good game against Chelsea as well. I think it was they played well against Chelsea, I believe. Yeah, it weren't great, man. It's just the same as last week against Palace. The only difference is we had Matic, who was able to plug a bit more gaps, so we didn't look as bad in the transition. But offensively, cohesion-wise, patterns of play, overlaps, underlaps, individual performances, all bad. All very, 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 very bad. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, I think... another terrible performance from him. Lindelof and Maguire, I wouldn't really say they had the worst games, but it's just another poor performance from them. Go Pogba. We'll touch on that a bit later. Who else was there? Martial. Oh, man. Yeah, it was all over the pitch. It was just bad, and the goals we conceded weren't great. And we needed a little bit of history to win that game there. Not complaining. I'll take the 3 points. It kind of sounds like we didn't win the game, but there's not really too much to take away from that game other than 3 points. Like, you're not really confident going into the next game after watching that. It was just so bad. Bruno as well. He's pissing me off. He's come away that game with, is it a goal and assist?
Yep.
How? I don't understand. And then I'm looking at, obviously, SOFA score ratings and all of those you don't really go by, but he's got high ratings. He was so bad that game. I don't understand how he's managing to just... He's tricking his way through the season again. I mean, you can't be mad, but you can be mad. Like, if you have to watch that for 90 minutes, but he goes away with a goal and assist, it's like a catch 22, man. Yeah, weren't impressed with that game.
Boy, Sebi, I want to talk about our midfield, because it seemed like, from what I was hearing, that it was just a terrible performance once again. And I feel like Bruno conceded that penalty early in Pogba's performance. It was just indicative of what we've been seeing recently. I want to talk about the midfield as a whole and what you think Brighton done well and what you think like we really need to improve on.
You're on mute, bro.
The midfield as a whole, let me just start off, is terrible. Like, terrible, terrible, terrible. But one thing I do have to say is, after throwing there, is I'm not too sure if it's the fact that we haven't had a preseason, and that was our, third game since Sevilla. So that was our third game. So Aston Villa was a preseason match, so only had one preseason game. And then obviously the game against Palace and then the game against Brighton. So that's our third game. So the players are unfit or the players are still tired. And it's still, I won't be able to tell, like, until maybe 3-4 games down the line what's going on. Because if they're tired, we are finished. Like, we are finished. We just have to hope that it's the fact that they're unfit. If we're unfit, there's a way to salvage the midfield. But it's just indicative of what I've been saying, man. Pogba doesn't know how to tackle. And he's playing in this, six role. He's playing with Matic. And Matic, you know, again, he was probably the best out of the three. But it's like the bar's in hell. Do you know what I mean? The bar is in hell. So, like, him being the best out of three doesn't mean he was great. It just means he was the best out of a bad bunch. But still, Matic is showing them up. And Matic at least does his job at a competent level. Pogba, what we want from you is we want you to create, bro. You're not able to tackle. You're not able to set the tempo. Your job is to create. But you're trying to create from, like, the sixth position. And it's just like... the players, the midfield, have no chemistry. They don't want to play with each other. All they want to do is get the ball and hit one killer pass. That's all they want to do. They don't want to play, or they want to get the ball and then find Wan-Bissaka. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing. They don't have no combinations in midfield. They don't know where their teammate is to kind of pass the ball off and create things with them. It's non-existent. And that kind of reflects on the games that the attackers had, because if the midfield is non-existent, what do you expect the attackers to do? They're literally feeding off scraps. Like, when we even talk about Rashford's goal is a half chance. Like, I remember being on Discord and I asked Morale, because I didn't want to be biased. I said, what's the bare minimum you expected from that Rashford chance? He said, the bare minimum I expect from that Rashford chance is Rashford to get a shot on target. Yeah. If he doesn't score, I'm not mad, but he has to get a shot on target. And for me, that was what I thought straight away. I was like, listen, this isn't a clear opportunity. He made it into a clear opportunity. And that was literally our only opportunity of the game. And that's really, really rubbish. I thought that the midfield need to do more. They need to play with each other. And they need to just stop trying to pass through other players, man. It was rubbish. And as you said, Rodney, Sofa score giving Bruno a sit score just because he got the assist and he got the goal. But, bro, he was rubbish all game. The one moment he had was the Rashford pass. And as I said, it wasn't a clear-cut opportunity. It was half a chance. And everything else was rubbish, man. Gave away the pen. And the thing is, when he was running, I knew he was going to give away the pen. I called it on Discord. They're just not aware. They're not mentally sharp. And I just hope it's the fact that it's match fitness rather than they're tired. Because if it's a hangover from the way how they played on lockdown, we're going to finish 15th, lads. We're finishing 15th. We're fucked, bro. We are fucked if it's a hangover. I'm just hoping that it's just a match fitness thing, bruv. And then we say, fair enough, innit? But again, I think Van de Beek should have played, but he'll probably play on Wednesday or whatever. And he's the only one that looks like he can set a tempo. And do you know what's fucked is United have a thing, yeah, since like Fergie left, is when a good player comes in, he catches the lurgies. So he ends up the same level as the other players in the team. So we'll bring in a quality player. He'll be good for 3 games. And in the 4th game, he'll be exactly the same as all the other shit in the team. And everybody's just catching the lurgies and everybody's all shit together. So really and truly, I don't even want him to be a part of this stuff right now. Like we just need to kind of step it up. The tempo needs to change. And it's horrific.
All right. I mean, there's not much else I could add to that. I mean, that Bruno guy, he's been making me sick for a while now. So
yeah.
At least more people are talking about it because he was getting away with it post-lockdown. But there's something that Solskjaer said that was interesting. This was about, he said, we don't stop enough crosses down that left-hand side. We allow too many crosses in. It's also down to team shape and the sharpness. For me, we need to work more from the sides to stop crosses. And that was about the Wan-Bissaka performance.
And then
he went on to say, this about Wan-Bissaka, he's practicing defending the back stick. He's a joy to work with. He wants to learn. He will improve. Of course, the chance towards the end there, he will also need help from other players.
It's baffling. I don't understand. You're complaining about something you're supposed to be coaching. You've got Greenwood and Aaron Wan-Bissaka on one side. Naturally, Greenwood isn't a defender and it's just not part of his game. He's a front man. You're not going to see him come back and cover the back post or help Aaron Wan-Bissaka often. If that's what you want from your right hand side, you're not going to get that. So I don't understand why you're persisting with Greenwood and Aaron Wan-Bissaka if you're saying we don't stop enough crosses coming in, or we don't do this, we don't do that. It doesn't make any sense. Then you need to coach Greenwood to get back more. I don't understand what he expects from that partnership by doing nothing and just saying, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that. From the player profiles you got, how is that possible? How is that going to work? How are you going to improve us defensively? By asking Greenwood to get back more, you take away what he gives us offensively. And then what's the point in being on the pitch? I don't understand. Both sides, nobody gets back really, but it's because Aaron Wan-Bissaka sits off his man until they try and push the ball past him. This is the issue we have with letting crosses in or letting shots on goal with Aaron Wan-Bissaka, because he doesn't really engage. He's sort of standoffish until you try and bypass him. So he gives you that yard or two. But if you're not trying to beat him, then that yard or two is useful to shoot or to get a ball in the box. So again, are you going to change the way Aaron Wan-Bissaka defends? It's just, those comments to me are crazy.
It's pretty interesting because you said that both sides, you said we need to work on crosses from both sides, really. And it's the fact that it's been a problem. Well, we saw versus Sevilla, both goals came from those crosses. and even all three goals. No, I think the first and third goal versus Palace, we saw that they came from the sides as well. So it's a big issue. And the fact of the matter is, we have Greenwood, Pogba, Wan-Bissaka, and Lindelof on one side. Defensively, that's just not gonna work. So
it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So he's got. I don't understand what he's going to do with those player profiles to make a difference. It's just baffling. But
we got the win.
Yeah.
You got the win.
Like, you forget that we actually did get the 3 points after the final whistle.
Yeah. I mean, what did you think of the penalty decision?
Like, is that legit? Can VAR pull playback after the final whistle? Like, have we actually looked at that being...
It's like blackjack. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like blackjack, bro. Sometimes you can do bringbacks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you can do bringbacks. Depends who you play with. It literally depends who you play with, bro. It depends who you play with.
Bare different rules.
It depends who you play with. I might have played with a Nets guy who's got the heritage and he can do the bringbacks, like United.
Yeah, yeah,
there's other people that can't. Do you know what I mean? So it literally depends. Like, it depends who you're playing with, bro. And the thing is, to be fair, logically, it makes sense. Because like, really and truly, like, the reason why it makes sense is because, like, when it happened, the game was on. Obviously, it's going to be called that. For example, like, if the game goes on 5 more seconds, the referee stops it. Like, the referee just was like, cool, the game's done, I'm blowing a whistle. But this happened while the game was playing, innit? So it happened while the game was playing, and it's a handball, and VAR give a penalty for these decisions. So because VAR give penalties for these decisions, it's a penalty, innit? So obviously you're going to say, yeah, listen, you missed this. Yeah, we've got to take the pen before the game's done. And where, you know what I mean? We've got the 3 points, innit? So
yeah, I'll take that, man. I knew they were going to equalize.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He went five. Did he go five at the back?
Yeah, yeah. He did. He brought on five.
Gosh, man.
That's another thing I wanted to ask. How did he look any better when we went five at the back?
No, just invited more pressure.
They pinned us back.
Yeah. To be fair, they did it all game, but when we went five at the back, it just got worse because there was absolutely zero pressure on the ball. Because look at the players you're asking to pressurize the ball. I think Fred come on for Pogba and he was just I don't even know it. He was on holiday. He was on, came on to saw us up defensively. And bro, I can't lie, I didn't know he was on the pitch. I didn't even know he was playing. He did nothing, just running around. And just when we went five at the back, it made no difference. It got worse, in fact.
Yeah, like when we went five at the back, yeah, whereas before we was kind of getting out and then maybe like doing a little thing or by ourselves, like we're doing a little thing and maybe tried to put in a threatening pass or, you know, we'll do something anyway. When we went five in the back, it was literally constant pressure. Pressure. We did not come out of our own half. And the thing is, it's like, for me, I thought our destiny lies in a 3-5-2 or 4-4-2. I don't think our destiny is in a three in midfield. It doesn't work for us. With the personnel we have, it does not work for us. And the more we kind of get away from, the more we kind of stay with this three or double pivot or whatever they're trying to do in midfield, the more we're going to struggle because we're not coached well. Yeah. For me, I feel like formations like a 4-4-2 is an old Brexit formation. You do not have to be the most well-versed coach to coach a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
It's actually very, very basic. And I feel like that's what we need to do. We need to bring it back down to basics. And then that also allows our most threatening players to be right next to goal because the positions that, again, Rashford is picking up the ball on the left are rubbish. I think against Brighton, he was much better in regards to the positions he picked up. But the previous few games, has been rubbish. He's picking it up at the halfway line. And that's reminiscent of when Jose was here. When Jose was here, our whole issue was Rashford's too. It's too far away from goal. He's picking up the ball from the halfway line and having to beat 3-4 players to create a chance. And that's the issue that's been with Rashford since he came back from injury. So for us, I'm just like, listen, we're obviously not coached well. players are still just vibing positions, and we need to start getting wins. So let's go. Let's get back to basics. Let's do a 4-4-2, Rashford and Martial up front, or Greenwood and Martial, or Greenwood and Rashford, or whatever combination you want to do it. Maybe Rashford on the wing or whatever. And I honestly feel like that's the best formation for Man United right now, or a 3-5-2 if you get that Telles you in or whatever.
Yeah, just to touch on Rashford, I think if we had a proper coach, he doesn't need to have the ball so much. I don't know why we have him on the ball so much, because when he's on the shoulder or he's running in behind, that's his bag. That's where he's the most dangerous. I don't understand why we have him on the ball so much and why some of our play isn't geared towards Rashford running off the shoulder as he did for his goal. So he's good on the ball, but he's more effective when he's off the shoulder, and he needs to do that more, and that needs to be coached more, because once we get that side of his game out of him, then it's just goals on goals and dangerous attacks on dangerous attacks. But for now, if he's getting the ball from the halfway line, he's trying to pass, he's trying to beat four or five players, or he's looking to do something clever, he can do it, but I don't think it's the best part of his game. And you saw some of that. You saw the good parts of his game against Brighton and some of the bad parts of his game against Brighton. It was like a game of two halves, really. I don't think he was that great the first half. And second half, he was better. It wasn't even one of his best performances. It wasn't even a great performance. And I think he could have finished the game with like three involvements, like two goals and an assist or something like that. So it looks promising for Rashford in that sense. But we just need to get him doing what he does best or what he's good at. And that's without the ball, in my opinion.
This episode is sponsored by Schwann's.com. What are you having for dinner tonight? Good question. Schwann's Home Delivery has a solution for you. Stock up your freezer with high-quality frozen foods like premium meats and sides, delicious ready-made meals, ice cream, and more. No subscriptions, no memberships, just a friendly yellow truck that's been delivering food for almost 70 years. Listeners of this show get a special deal. Get 20% off your first order with code YUM20. Check out schwanns.com/yum for details.
Lastly, we can't touch on him too much because, you know, we have our own segment that we have for the patrons, but looked like another stinker for our boy Pogbeezy. It's looking a bit tight because, you know, since that Southampton game, he's been looking a bit funny, I can't lie. Just want to get your swift comments on his performance versus Brighton, and if it's a fitness issue or if it's just him. Yeah,
it's time to go. Like listen, it's time to go, bro. You see Pogba, yeah. Oh my god,
love hate relationship, bro. Love hate relationship. Listen,
I've been on this youth for a time, innit? Like, and then today I've seen an article that Juve want him back, but that happens every year. They want him back and they potentially want to swap Aaron Ramsey plus cash, which is a rubbish deal, but fair enough anyway. But yeah, Pogba against Brighton, for me, I just feel like I'll just basically go off what I said last week in the Pogba Watch, which everybody that listens to this should listen to. It's me and Mariah. Every single Pogba performance, we're going to be giving you reviews. So yeah, anyway, so Pogba is in danger of becoming a jack of all trades and a master of none. So he's in this position, he's in the central position, and he's trying to do a bit of everything. And sometimes he can do a bit of everything, but he's not really excelling at one real thing right now. And this has been him since he come here. And I feel like the reason why people ignore that is because, yeah, he's capable of 10 out of 10 performances, and everybody just raw, yeah, on his days, I'm raw, whatever. But the majority of the time, this guy is either a passenger in midfield or a liability in midfield. Do you know what I mean? Or sometimes he can be both. So I'm saying, and for me, I just feel like the Brighton game, he was a passenger in the Brighton game, and he was a liability because he almost gave away the pen, but that got ruled out. But the thing is, I knew that was going to be a pen. Well, I knew he was going to do something to make it be a pen. like, again, there's something else I called on Discord. And lucky, because of the way how Connolly like moved his leg in front of Pogba, it was ruled out. But again, like, he can't tackle, man. So this, what, having him in deep positions makes no sense. Play the middle wing, bro. Play him in the left quadrant right next to the attackers. Do not get him out of the middle, the midfield, or right in the middle, trying to get, pick up the ball, trying to tackle, trying to do all of that. Get him away from that, bro. Play him in that left attacking position and let him just vibes and dominate the ball from there. And this is the issue with Man United. They want to, oh, bro, like, they don't address key issues, bro. You should have got a controller, should get a ball winner, and go play Pogba in his best position. But you got Bruno and you got Van de Beek, and you've just got bears of the same players. Like, it just don't make no sense.
Rodney, what do you think about the performance and Pogba overall?
He looks heavy, man. He looks heavy, bro.
Do you know what? I remember, I think it was, I think it was last season. I think it was this season when the kits got released. And then I was seeing the kits on Pogba. I was thinking, rah, these kits don't look, guys look nice at all. Then I realized it's just Pogba still. That guy's huge now. Like,
he looks heavy. He plays like he's heavy as well at the moment. Obviously, we can't say too much, but I think he finished that game with 71% pass completion.
71% pass completion, no tackles, no chances.
Yeah, with a player of his ability, with the ball, passing-wise, and his range, 71%, probably that's all you need to know about his performance, to be honest with you, because it weren't like he created chances or those passes were dangerous. He was lazy, lethargic, I can't be bothered type of passes, like crossfield passes where there were like three or four men marking the player he was trying to pass the ball across. And there was, I think he made a mistake when he passed the ball out. I think we even scored from it eventually, but had we not have, it might have been on top for him. But yeah, I won't say too much on it, but it was a stinker. And when he has stinkers, they're really, really bad. Like he doesn't know how to, you know, when you're having a bad game, manage your bad game and just get back to basics and do the basics right to get your confidence, get the momentum, get your rhythm going so you can start trying things in a game. It's just that when it goes bad for him, he tries way too much, way too often to try and get, I think he knows in his head he's having a bad game. Even without the fans in the stadium, he knows he's having a bad game. And then it's just, he puts on the cape and tries way too much. And we've got another player who does that, Bruno, and himself. But I just think when Pogba's having a bad game, you know he's having a bad game because it's really bad. He doesn't manage bad performances well at all. Like, players can have bad games and then they'll just get back to the basics. But him, he wants to try things and then it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. And then it's to the point where he has to get hooked. Like, you've got no choice. Even with our bench options, how bad they are, you have to hook him because it's that bad.
And it's interesting because there was a game two seasons ago. We faced Brian as well. We lost that game 3-2. And I remember second half where exactly the same thing, just got progressively worse and worse. He was kicking the ball off the pitch. I think he scored a penalty at the end, but he was shocking that game. And it's just the thing that he does. He can't manage himself through a bad game. I feel
he plays like he's got a JD bag on, bro.
Nah.
You know them pictures are so...
Bam. Yeah. Oh. But yeah, I mean, he needs to score that. Basically, at the end of the day, my man is 27 years old. He's about to be 28 in February. You can have all the excuses in the world where, fine, you're not being played in the best team, best coach team, not being played with the right partner, stuff like that. That is fine. But you can't slip below a certain standard. And the problem with Pogba is he slips below that standard far too often. And it's so far below the standard, he looks like a player that I don't recognize at all. Like,
yeah,
Like, it's just like stuff like that is unforgivable, because it was exactly the same versus Southampton last season as well in the 2-2, where you could have lost us that game and we're out of the running for the Champions League. And stuff like that, as an experienced member of the team, like as a, probably our best player, like just in general, he's probably our best player.
That
type of stuff can't wash. And that's the type of things where you see why the Souness and the Nevilles get onto him. Like, you can't defend that. So it's just a bit poor. But
just to throw in there, obviously we watched Kevin De Bruyne. I think he played it. Did he play in a pivot yesterday?
He eventually went into a pivot and he looked,
he had a stinker as well. So I'm taking a little bit of heart from that as well, because nobody can start beating Pogba with the KDB stick anymore. But, KDB can play in a pivot. Well, we saw it and it weren't nice. It weren't nice. So
yeah,
but at least we put that to bed.
But I think this is what Oli said after the game about Pogba. He missed a lot of preseason because of his illness. So he's had no internationals or friendly against Villa. So, of course, the 260 and 65 minutes he's had will help him along, and it will just get better and better.
Which is fair, but I've seen his performances where Pogba's in mid-flow. So
Yeah, bro. I can't lie.
So we'll see.
I can't lie, because, bro, yeah. That's what I'm going to say on that.
We'll see, bro.
That's such nonsense, you know, because we
hey, that's why I'm moving on, bro. I just had to put that in quickly.
Oh, okay, you know, cool.
Just let him save face a bit, but boy.
We begin today's meditation with a few sipping exercises to remind us a little treat can go a long way. So pick up your McCafe iced coffees, close your eyes, and deep sip in. And deep satisfaction out.
Take a treat retreat at McDonald's. Right now, get a McCafe iced coffee in any size and any flavor for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price of participation may vary.
Fam, it's been a long summer. And we've had one signing. And it's about to end next week. We've had one signing. Yeah, man. What do you think this last few weeks going to be? Is it going to be prime time with the season finale, or is it going to be a horror show?
It's already a horror show. I think even Woody's season finale is a horror show in itself. So I don't know, man. It's just, I said it earlier on the timeline, I've never seen us fake our way through a transfer window as we are now. Like, it's insane how they've managed to spin the same sentence on Sancho for 6 weeks. That is, you know what, that in itself, they deserve some sort of award, because how they've managed to spin Sancho has agreed personal terms and United are going to make a bid for 6 weeks is insane. And even with a deal like Alex Hells, like, to me, that looks like the easiest deal of the window right now. And we'll just do that, you know, you just see things coming out like, yeah, United are trying to drive down the price. Like, okay, like, there's a week left of the window, bro. So you saw us perform against Palace. You saw us perform against Brighton. You saw us scrape for fourth, third last season. You know we need players. Now we're into the last however many days of the window, and we've not addressed one priority issue in the squad yet. Like, it's insane. Because now the best we can hope to do with the names that are floating is sign a left back. And that's poor, because we need a centre back, we need a DM, we needed a right wing. And to go into the season with only addressing one issue, it's mightily poor. And you're not helping Ollie at all. Like, he needs all the help he can get, because he's not a great coach, tactician or whatever. He ain't got the minerals. And the best that most United fans are hoping for is the Porto left back, and some still hold a glimmer of hope of Sancho. And for a window where we could have used it as a catalyst to get closer to City and Liverpool. It's poor, man. It's poor. I think something's going on where it's a little bit deeper. Like, obviously, there's been articles about we don't have money or we've got restrictions because of the debt and stuff. So, yeah, not impressed, man.
I'm just going to go through a rundown of the story. This week, it seems like it's leaking out that United are going to give a take it or leave it bid to Dortmund. Apparently, it's going to be 65 million up front with 25 million of achievable add-ons, which brings it to 90 million, which is about 18 million away from what Dortmund want overall. If you think about it, 65 million up front, Dortmund want 95 million. Yeah. They want 90 million up front, and then they don't care about, they're pretty fine with the rest being add-ons. So add-ons. We're basically about 25 million away up front and then 20 million away overall. So apparently that's going to be our take it or leave it offer. If they don't take it, then
I don't understand. Like, we're not dealing with a club who need the money in a sense. Like, I don't understand. How can you put a take it or leave it bid, which is lower than what Dortmund have set all summer? I don't understand. It's just baffling. They said they want 90 million up front, so you're going to go 25 million below that with and then have add-ons. So, yeah, you're just stunting with no cash, man. That's all it is. It's insane.
I've been on Mugger here for like two seasons saying we ain't got peas because I've been saying it for time. United have been tricking people. I've been saying because every single year I look at our revenue and I'm thinking our revenue dwarfs every team in the Prem. Every team in the Prem, I don't know about this season or last season, but before we was dwarfing everybody, we was moving to everybody. The thing is with everyone else is they had things to pay for, i.e. stadiums and other stuff or whatever. We literally had nothing to pay for other than the Glazers' debt. Mm. Yeah, that's all we have to pay for, you know, the Glazers' debt. Without the Glazers' debt, we could move outrageous in the window. And this is why I used to always tell people, I said, listen, the reason why, like, people see the 150 every year and say, but we've spent money, For example, yeah, if my whole arm is rotten, yeah, and I flipping cut off I cut off my little finger and I replace it with a fake little finger, but the rest of my hand is still rotten, the little finger gets rotten. So I have to replace that again. If I cut off two fingers, do you know what I mean? Replace it with two fake fingers, I still have to replace that again. United have needed to cut the whole hand off and start again from time. But the reason we can't do that is because the Glazers are fucking about with the peas. United should have had a 300 million transfer window. Everybody thinks that's ludicrous, but we can actually afford it. This is what we should have had. Same way how City have spent 400 million on fucking defenders, this should have been Manchester United. United should have spent until they got it right. That is it. Simple as that. Not, let's buy three players here. Oh, okay. Then let's not address an issue for two seasons and then the rest of the squad gets old and then let's address it when everybody gets old. We're fucking doing it so crazy. Like, remember, for a time, we didn't address the midfield and we allowed other players to get old and then we finally brought Pogba in and Pogba's in by himself and then we brought our own Matic. Bro, the squad building has been shit. The amount of players we bought have been shit. Everything has just been shit. Again, coaches take some of the blame because they bought rubbish and there was gems out there and they wanted certain players and we got fleeced for certain players. That is fine. That's perfectly fine. But again, we needed to spend big. On top of that, let's bring it to this season. This season, fair enough, fuck it. We're going to, our usual transfers, 150, yeah? 150 right now would have sorted out all of our problems. If we were fair,
Post Champions League qualification, I think our expenditure is not 150. I think it's probably closer to 68 or something. Yeah. When we qualified for Champions League.
On average, I think the amount is 19 million.
Which is fucking, like it's crazy. Everton are spending that type of money. Like people at Everton are spending that type of money. Like I remember one, I think it was like 3 seasons ago when Everton spent 100 million. So our fans are getting gassed over 100 million, 150 million. We're spending the same as Everton, bro. We're not doing anything. We keep signing these players, like our defenders or whatever, to long-term extensions because we don't want to replace them. Pep Guardiola came in Man City and said, yo, this isn't it. I've got man like Mangala, all these other men. This isn't it. I'm buying two fullbacks. I'm buying two centre-backs. I'm buying two fullbacks on the other side, and we're moving. If I ain't doing that, I ain't coming. Simple as that. We've been needed to have a backup for fucking Shaw. Or, sorry, not even a backup, a replacement for Shaw. For how many years? We suffered with Brandon Williams for last season, and it was average. We've needed to have two other centre-backs. We bought Maguire for 80 million. Jose brought Lindelof. Cool. If this doesn't work, someone like Pep can get rid of them and go again. But for us, we're going to have those two forever.
Yeah.
We're
going to
have those
two. It's insane because...
Forever.
Yeah, it's insane because now we signed Maguire and from his play, most people would say we need to sign something to complement him or carry him. Mm. Then we got Aaron Wan-Bissaka and people are now saying we need to replace him. So we still got, and then we don't know if Bailly's going to stay fit. So that is basically a whole back four where there's question marks. That needs to be replaced, basically.
That needs to be replaced. And we don't know what's going on with De Gea and how good Henderson is. Henderson can come in and be shit.
Well, this is... I didn't know too much about Henderson, and then everyone was like, yeah, Henderson. And then... I focused on him and then he got packed in every single game.
Yeah. I mean,
it's crazy.
After lockdown, he was pretty poor. But
yeah, that's when I started tuning in and I was like,
generally, over the season, he's been pretty good. And we've seen Sheffield United so far. They don't look too good without him to still. Yeah. That Ramsdale guy is fucking awful. But yeah. In terms of if an ideal entered the window, what would it be for you, Sebi?
Ideal enter the window, yeah. And this is literally achievable. I'm actually lowering my expectations for this year.
Every single year, bro.
They do it to me. They do it to me every year. At the start of the window, I'm saying we need five, six players.
We need this one, that one.
I say that every single year. For the last 5 years, Arsene Elijah, I've said this, bro. I've said this every single year. We need five, six players. And then I get so tired at the end. Woodward is physically free down. Give me three.
Just give me three, bro.
Give me three. He does this to me every year, bro. This year, but I do. Listen, if United had any sense, give me Thomas Partey, 50 mil. Alex Tellez, 20 mil. And I know, give me Saar or Brooks, minimum. Give me Saar or Brooks. Saar may be too expensive for United. So the 40 million, they may not want to do it. Or 30 million, give me Brooks for 20 mil. That is achievable. I'm actually giving you... Brooks is my third option or fourth option. Alex Tellez, I don't even know how good he is, but I'll take him. But, bruv, I would literally take those three. And that is achievable. It doesn't make no sense. If we can't secure these type of deals, then what's the point, bruv?
Rodney, how about you?
I don't know, man. An ideal end to the window, would it just be shutting tonight? To be honest with you. My heart can't take anymore, man.
I love the window.
I just want it to stop. I just want it to stop. I want the pain to stop. I want it to go away. It's too much now, man. I don't know what would be. I don't want to say I don't want to put it in that universe what an ideal end to this thing would be, because then I'm going to get my hopes up and think, okay, that's achievable, let's go and do it, and then at the end of the window we faked our way to signing no one. So I'm just going to go with the obvious and say the left back from Porto. And then, yeah, that's for me. I'm gonna be realistic. I'm not even gonna be an idealist. I can't. It's heartbreaking, bro, to say, like, even David Brooks at this point, that would, he's a baller, that would keep me happy. But that's not gonna happen. Oh, I don't know, man. This Thomas Partey, that's a dream. I think Atletico Madrid probably want to hold on to him at this point.
They do want to hold on to him. But
they do, right? Okay, yeah. So I don't know.
No, but he has a release clause, isn't it? He has a release clause. That's why I said party, because okay, what's his release clause activated?
Are they renewing, though?
We are not paying 45 million up front, bro.
I don't understand it.
It's hands on the head. It's hands on the head season.
We're not paying 45 million up front for
one. Yeah, I promise you, I reckon we could see this week it would be the maddest rumor mills. United have done this. United have put this bid in. They've put that bid in. It's a bit too late. It's a bit too this. The other team can't find a replacement. And we sign no one. I'm telling you, we could end the transfer window with one signing.
To take off his glasses on the project.
I'm telling you, bro, don't write off. We could go to the end of the window, deadline day, and sign nothing. Like you said, I think you said in the group chat, Sebi, Josh King. And I saw a rumor about him like 2 days
ago. Bro, I told you. That's Ed Woodward's Joker, Josh King. He's going to call up Bournemouth and he's going to say, fuck it, Josh King. the guy's a sicko, bro.
You know what? I don't want to be disrespectful to Josh King because he's not a bad squad option. But, bro, from the start of the window, like, you can't say I'm going to sign. Like, all the issues, we will prioritise our issues. And I don't think Van der Beek covered any of those issues. And maybe Josh King covered a few people needing a striker. So I don't know, man. Like, it's scary times at United. I don't know what we're gonna do. I don't even know if we'll get top four if we stay the way we are in terms of squads. Because watching Spurs against Newcastle, I know they drew, but they looked all right, man.
They did.
They looked all right, and they still got that left back, I believe, and whatever of left of Gareth Bale.
That's incomings. In terms of outgoings, it seems like Pereira's off. Unfortunately. Yeah,
it's a good move for him. It's actually a good... I'm surprised he's actually got quite a good club to go to.
Oh, no. Pereira on the continent has real respect because...
Yeah, it's quite...
of what he done at Girona. He was decent. He was okay for a bit at Valencia. And he's just a foreign player. He's got a nice name. So yeah. I guess... I saw the Lazio coach talking about him saying he's a good player. I do feel like... because they have Luis Alberto now. So I feel like next season, I think he might go. And then I think they'll try to use Pereira to replace him, which would be very good for us. Because the price that I'm seeing... around 12, 15 million, maybe up to something like 23 million as an option to buy.
Yeah, so 27.
That would be very good for us to be able to...
What? So 27 million euros, bro.
Option. Yeah, yeah.
Sterling.
Yeah, no, euros. So, that's an option.
So that would be 23 million, I think.
That's sick.
Yeah, so if that's true, that would be amazing. I think that would be the first time I've seen us extend a player's contract and we used the length of his contract to sell him at the press.
Yeah.
Smalling, I watched Roma the other day. They need a centre back, but it's not looking like
they keep slotting for him as well. And the thing is that I do respect Woodward being firm. They wanted 12 million, which is criminal. He was their best player last season. Well, the best defender last season, one of the best defenders in Serie A. That's what people were saying. So for you to try get 12 million for him, that's a dickhead thing. You're actually taking a piss. United want closer to 18 million. So calm. Yeah, that's fucking calm, man. So like 15, 16 should be should be fair. And
how much is he on though a week?
Probably like 100.
It's like 100 or 80? 80, 100. But the thing is in Italy, what they've done recently is that they've brought in new tax rules. So foreigners that are coming in, they get much lower tax. I think it's like 20%.
That's fucking sick.
So you can sign a player and he only pays 20% tax. And
so he's earning the same.
That's so much easier. But I was the thing is, I was watching Roma and they signed a player, Kumbula. He's like a centre back as well. And this guy, when he signed, he basically said he looks up to Smalling. He's always looked up to Smalling, that he has modelled his whole game on him.
I'm dead.
And that's the centre back they just signed. Like, bro, they are slotted for him.
It must be crack.
It must be crack.
They made him say that in the press conference, bro.
What? I can't believe that.
They said, I model my game on Smalling. I said, wow.
No way. Who's that man's father? Because honestly, you can't have your son running around saying them type of things. I know that's not true. They're definitely. Listen. Smalling, you know.
The other rumors I've heard, Jones, apparently, if Burnley sell Tarkowski, Burnley might want to take Jones on loan.
Please, God. But no, every club are trying to do us with this loan thing, though.
Yeah, can't
go and buy them, bro. Every club is trying to do us with this loan
thing. The loan thing is all right, but then you remember they got to come back. And
that's what I'm saying.
That's why, look, even now, obligation.
But look, Smalling's come back now. Now we're struggling to ship him because we want a nice fee. That's 100%. We need the obligation, bro. If you're going on loan, we need an obligation.
100%.
Yeah, you got to take him regardless.
I don't think we gain much from loan spells, really.
No.
Financially, we don't.
Just a small bit.
It's not too much. Unless we're saying, Jones coming out and Pereira going on loan, that frees up space to maybe get for Sancho. I don't really, loan spells are just not really beneficial. We need obligations, man, because they come back and you kind of forget that throughout the season that these men are coming back.
Look at Rojo, bro. Rojo's here. Nobody's putting no bid for him.
What's he doing? Where is he?
He's just vibing, bro. He's in Gaucho. Eating steak.
Yeah. So, apparently...
Where is Gaucho? Is Gaucho Argentinian?
Yeah. Apparently, we're trying to ramp up our outgoing. So, Rojo, Romero, Lingard, there were the other names mentioned, but I think Lingard is going to stay.
Yeah, Lingard doesn't want to leave. Yeah. Like, I'm sure he's even cried. Like Lingard, as soon as he was linked with leaving, bruv, last season, I really want to stay at Man United. I love Man United. He's played there all his life. He can't see beyond Man United. He'd rather be on the bench and getting paid than play. And I hear him. I can feel it. When I see things like he puts out in the press, I feel so bad for him. He wants to work really hard. He wants to stay at Man United. Any other player would have just said, calm, whatever. He doesn't want to leave. And I feel bad for him.
Joe, so funny is that I remember when the news came out that he got Raiola as his new agent. We all thought he was offered it.
Yeah.
But then COVID struck. And the way Italy was moving, I think Lingard said, I'm staying, bro.
Yeah, apparently players are hesitant to go abroad at the moment, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
In Europe, not
even just abroad, they're just like hesitant to move across the country as well.
If he stays, I'm not like, it's not the end of the world that.
I don't think Lingard's that bad. I don't think out of the players we have, when we look at all of the rubbish players, Lingard would be the last person, in my opinion.
He sort of tops the rubbish list.
He's at top of the rubbish. Yeah. But if the fee is right, if the fee is right, I don't care. Get rid of
him. But he's the player that we can probably get the most for.
That's why for me, he was the most important because he's the best of the rubbish, you can get a good fee for him.
That's very true.
But Everton have stopped being stupid, so I think it was the season too late.
That and Bournemouth went down. They love them light skin youths. So
I feel for Lingard because he's
got you too.
No, listen. If the team was a lot better, like our squad building was a lot better and the team was in better shape, he would be an okay option. It's just that the team is so bad and we need the money and like our depth is so poor, and it's just like he has to go type of thing. But if our team first 11 was good and we had better bench players, you wouldn't really care about seeing Lingard on the bench. It's only like because now he commands the highest fee, like you said, Elijah.
And he's on big wages
that you'd say, okay, cool, we need to get him gone. But if the squad was in a better way, then you probably wouldn't really care whether Lingard stays or go. But because we need the money at this minute in time to buy, and he commands the highest fee, then it's like he's next on the chopping block. But due to COVID and stuff, I don't really see him going. Even on deadline day, I think it's not going to happen. I don't think we're going to be able to move on many. Maybe Pereira is definitely going to go. I saw that the president said in 2-3 days he'll be their player. Yeah. So Pereira will go, and maybe one more, maybe Smalling. But I don't see Jones going anywhere. Romeo was saying that we've had no offers for him. Anyway,
yeah, I think we want a big fee for him. So we want like 8 million for him. Plus he's not going nowhere. Plus on 8k a week, 9k a week.
He's not going nowhere. Rojo
is on 150k a week.
He's not going anywhere. Like, I don't know why we didn't sell him to Everton last summer. Like, why we blocked that move and why we saw Everton as a rival last summer. I don't get it, because now he's not going anywhere and he's just, that makes no sense, to be honest with you. But I don't see how there's no interest in any of these men.
Yep. And
where are they going?
We signed them up to long deals because we thought we could do what they're doing with Pereira, hopefully, where they could sell them on for a good fee by extending it. They're thinking like accountants rather than...
Yeah.
Well, it's exactly. All finance, man, isn't it? Finance, man, that are fucking running the football.
That's the thing.
But that can work if you play the players.
That can work.
They don't even play to showcase what they could do.
That's the thing, because they know if they play them, the value will drop because they are that bad. it's that peak. Like, you can do that with good squad players. Can't.
Yeah.
Because they will play. People will see their value. Cool. Yeah. With man like Rojo and that, like, he will do a mad thing and then you won't see him for like 6 months because he will get injured. He'll fly kick a man in the face and then like, there needs to be a balance between the financial thinking and the football thinking. Like, there needs to be a marry there. So that's a big problem that we have, but enough of that.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen report. Limitations apply.
Let's go on to some listeners' questions. Not that many this week, but I'm not surprised. It was actually a pretty depressing week, despite the fact that we won, which is so weird. But, this one's from ML Doms. His question is, we allegedly have the biggest scouting network in the world, but Martial and De Gea, how comes we have never been able to identify and acquire a young talent before they get a mad price tag?
Because scouts are not allowed to recommend anything.
They probably put 150,000 names on the desk, but that is not what United are like. They probably cross off all those names that are on. They probably go onto the desk of the committee and they cross them off. So it's not really our scouting network. I think they probably bring the names forward and those names just get crossed off because United don't have that foresight. They're not really... In saying that, I do believe that they're building up our under-18s and not all of that quite well. They're acquiring some talents.
But I think the thing is with that is that that was done very differently. So with our youth academy, it was very...
We're getting the top talents. They're already well known.
Yeah, it was very archaic. So what was done is that Woodward brought in a consultancy just to look at what we don't have and what the other big clubs don't have. And then we built it from the ground up. And then we've had Butt, who has overseen everything. And now we're in a position where our under-18s are very good. Our reserves is basically a place where our under-18s can play a level up. And then we know our best young players. That's what I've seen. This is Garner, Levert. They want to learn out Laird. So it was done in a very... It was actually the way that we rebuilt our academy was actually a good... It's actually one of the good things that Woodward has actually done. But it's weird how it's not been done with the first team.
Like, yes.
Like, we have the biggest scout network in the world. We have loads of scouts. And then we have this bespoke stats tool. And
nonsense, and isn't it?
We've heard scouts come out and said they've recommended this player and that player. Ribalta came out saying he said we should get... He was trying to get Goretzka on a free, but United weren't really...
Yeah, see, the names come to the desk, but it's just... That isn't United. United want ready-made player. And it's so crazy because they don't get the best ready-made players anyway. So you might as well just go and do what the listeners' questions suggest and get players before they're good. But again, at a big club, you want to minimise the risk in transfers and you want to make sure players can hit the ground running and you can be successful straight away. But that's not even working because we don't even do that correctly. So whatever.
Literally, Liverpool, took two risks. I don't think Van Dijk was a risk, but Salah and Mane was a risk.
Salah was tearing up.
No, but Mane was linked with us. Every fan in the world was bantering us when Mane was linked with Man United. Yeah. That was definitely a risk, but Liverpool took it. Salah, obviously, if you were watching Italy, then you would know he was tearing it up. But for me, I was watching Italy at that time.
No, was I.
And all I could just like go off of what he'd done in the Prem. And I was like, I wasn't bothered about that signing. I was like, good player, but don't know how to finish his dinner. That was literally his biggest issue. Crazy? That he couldn't finish.
It's mad because even I saw him in Italy. He played for Fiorentina, he played for Roma. And all I saw was that he was so fast that it's basically like Lukaku right now. The way he exploited those defenders was it felt so racist. Like, it was just like he was just kept running at them. So I thought in the Prem it might not be like that, but with Liverpool they had a good coach, so he made it so that he was still allowed to do that, really. So
so
bro, we just need to basically just take risks in the transfer window and let's just see who we can get, because this Tradis, big star thing, it hasn't worked. So let's just take some risks and get like players for a decent amount rather than spending 120 on a Sancho or 90 million on a Sancho. I'd rather get a Sarr and a David Brooks. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather take that risk and then shore up in like better areas. So for example, I'd take the risk on a Sarr and a David Brooks because we have Rashford and Greenwood. So I'd take that risk. And then in midfield, I'd go goal certified with a Partey. Do you know what I mean? In defence, I'd go Upamecano. Do you know what I mean? Like, rather than 120 on one position, I feel like you should kind of like pick and choose where you take the risk. And I don't think we should go for Sancho, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that was another thing someone said. Someone said that Liverpool, the thing Liverpool do well is they know when to take a risk on a player and they know when to move on. So with Van Dijk and Alisson, they said, yeah, they are too elite. So
too elite.
Have it. With Salah and Mane, they weren't their first choice. They wanted Götze over Mane and they wanted Brandt over Salah. They weren't able to get them. So they said, let's go for Mane and Salah. So
yeah, I think they definitely work their way through a list better than we do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Next question is it time to consider selling Pogba?
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like if we sell Pogba, we just go further back.
Because how the hell are we going to who are we going to replace him with? Like, we have...
Listen, the thing is, if we were Bayern Munich, if we were City, if we were Liverpool now, then I could say, okay, cool, we'll sell Pogba, and I'm confident we may be able to replace him with two or three players, maybe one. But at United, you sell Pogba, and you won't see anyone coming. I guarantee you, you won't see anyone coming.
True.
You won't see anyone coming. So selling Pogba is like, it's insane. It's like, we sell him and then there's going to be no one. That there's no way you can trust United to sell Pogba and adequately replace him or adequately improve our midfield or use that money other than Glazers improving their NFL team or whatever team they've got in America. So no, like, just keep him there and give him the bag, because I don't trust the club to do anything of the sort after he's gone.
That's true. That's true on that. Like, yeah, as you said, if it was another team, then it would make sense. But again, we've proven that we're not good at replacing players. So yeah, I kind of agree with you on
that. It'll be 5 years before we getting close to replacing him.
That's very true.
Man said 5 years now.
5 years, honestly. 5 years.
25 and be like, oh shit, yeah. he sold Pop.
Yeah.
Shit.
We've got to replace him now. Like, you just can't trust the club to do anything. Like, so we got to keep our best players at the club. Even if we only get one performance a month from them at the moment, boy, I'll take that over what I think the club will do once they're gone.
Oh, by the way, that question was from Keith Ocha. And then this one from Wade Worlds. Why do we allow this team to ruin our week every week?
Man, why do you allow your girlfriend to annoy you?
Like, I was just about to say, brother, this is literally like a relationship with your girl. Like, yeah, it's just, man, you put up with it because you love her.
Yeah.
It's a mad thing. Like,
yeah, so you want to leave.
You want
you want the heartache to stop. You're thinking about going therapy, but it's just... They're just here, isn't it? We're here, bro. To that listener, we're here, and there's nothing we can do, bro.
That's it.
If you're looking for us to tell you, get out. Sorry, bro.
That's all the questions there were. There weren't many questions, man.
Sorry, guys. sorry, guys.
This was a sad... I think this is the saddest spot I've heard.
We got 3 points, though.
After we won, you know? It's the saddest spot I've heard after we won.
It's because we know what's to come. Like, we're not deluded. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We know what's to come. Like, we know that was such a bad performance, and now there's an international break. It doesn't get better.
What's even worse? We got Brighton on Wednesday.
Fucking hell, bro.
Got Brighton again on Wednesday. Then after
is that a cup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then after that is Spurs.
Spurs on Sunday.
Spurs.
Oh, we got Spurs.
Got Spurs.
Did Kane get a red card though?
No, he didn't.
It was the coach. Only Son's injured, but that doesn't mean anything. Bergwijn packed out De Gea.
Yeah.
So, oh, man. I don't know.
Yeah, so... But...
Do you know what, yeah? I know it's not his fault, but being Panenka'd at a penalty, that should show De Gea that people do not really respect
him. They don't respect you.
I'm telling you, there's no respect, there's no ratings there, because he's not doing... Neuer's just come back to good form.
I
promise you, he's not trying that with Neuer. He's not trying that with other top keepers, bruv.
They're treating
De Gea like he's Chelsea's keeper, bruv. I'm honest. I'm seeing it. Sunday league keeper, bruv. Because to do that to David De Gea... That means your team has looked at David De Gea and said, this guy hasn't saved a penalty in his whole life. So you can do literally whatever you want.
4 years.
You do whatever you... Because he saved a penalty the other day, but it was a retake, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So you do whatever you want, bro. You want to chip him, it's going in. So do whatever you want. It's embarrassing, isn't it? The only saving grace is that at the end he gave away the penalty, so he won't sleep in it
easy. Yeah, I love to see it.
What do you think the score versus Spurs is going to be?
I know it don't really matter, but are we away or home?
We're at home.
Oh, gosh. And Bale's not fit?
No.
And Son's not fit?
Nope, he's got a hamstring injury, he's out.
But Harry Kane right now is linking up like a madman. Like his link up
with
play.
Son though.
I think you'd be able to do it with anybody, man. Right now, he's on fire in regards to link up. Like, I don't.
That's so insane. We're talking about one of the most lethal number nines, and now he's an assist merchant.
Yeah. It's mad, you know, because do you know what? It's mad because when we talk about Martial and how he can drop too deep. We've actually been seeing it with Kane for like a good two seasons now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And people just ignore it.
That guy needs help. Like he needs, because he's basically having to drop deep to create for the team.
I thought they were bringing in players like Ndombele, Lo Celso. These men were supposed to be able to do that job.
But, I mean, Lo Celso, yeah, he's playing as a 10, but, I mean, even then, like, they have, they're starting Winks and Højbjerg, man, like, they can't press play. So,
on to, the score prediction.
Yeah.
I'll go 1-1. I'll take the 1-1, man.
Yeah, I'll take the 1-1 as well, to be honest.
Do you know what? I think Rashford's going to wake up because the way he hates Mourinho.
Oh, yeah, he might dump on Mourinho.
The way he hates Mourinho.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, boy.
Spurs are quite aggressive, though, so I reckon Mourinho will tell them to just clatter him.
Ah, fam. I think when Rashford sees Mourinho's face, he's going to go Super Saiyan, bro.
Hopefully Martial and Pogba do the same as well. I feel like they might raise their game.
I can't lie. I think Martial, he needs to stop wearing the Balenciaga boots.
Yeah, and why is he wearing those? I don't understand.
Basically, I think he lost... I think his contract with his sponsor ran out recently, so he's...
Who's he with?
I can't remember who he was with, you know. But, like, he's wearing black...
Can't he get a new sponsor? Is he moving like Pepe?
So basically, I think his team is trying to sort out a contract for a new thing. But I'm like, bro, just... Fam, it's not that deep.
Is he wearing Sokodo or something?
I don't know what he's wearing, bro. He's just all blacked out. I don't know what or what the brand is. But he looks so unfit. His first touch looks horrendous.
Yeah, it looks heavy.
And Pogba as well. But hopefully they can all wake up. But all I know is that Rashford, if he plays like he did at OT last season, boy.
So where are you going then? What score?
I'm going 2-1 to us though.
Ooh, it's a brave one there.
I'm going to want to us still.
Yeah.
All right. that's the end for the thank you for listening. Subscribe, like, share. When you comment on the pod tomorrow, make sure to use the hashtag touchlinefracker. And yeah, we're out.
Peace.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. Thank you. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man
U. Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Mane. Ready!
Description. Goal. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Oh yes! Welcome to Manchester United. Anthony Martial.
I beat for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
There's more to working from home than emails. So you need Wi-Fi with reliable speed, the most in-home coverage, and built-in security. You need Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity Internet and learn about our great offers. You'll get amazing value with speeds that deliver and reliable coverage you can count on. And with XFi Advanced Security, you can keep all the devices in your home connected and protected from Wi-Fi network threats. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store to learn more today. Restrictions apply.